The last few verses of Hebrews chapter 4 told us that Jesus is our sympathizing high priest. Now in Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to address that Jesus is our eternal and compassionate high priest today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer, and I am so glad that you're following along with us as we're going through the book of Hebrews. We're now entering Hebrews chapter 5. I want to welcome those of you that are listening to us on our podcast. And thank you for joining us here on YouTube if that's where you have found us. And if you've not subscribed, be sure and do so. Let's get right into the first part of Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to go down through verse 11, beginning with the idea that Jesus is our eternal high priest. We're spending some time in Hebrews 4 laying out what Jesus' place is for us. And the significance of this will strengthen you in your faith. Beginning verse 1, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifice for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was." Now here at the beginning, the writer of Hebrews is going back and reminding them of how the priesthood operates as a Jewish people. Being Christians now and looking back to their Hebrew roots, he's addressing the significance of what Christ is in the life of a believer, because some of them were being pulled back and starting to neglect the great salvation that had come to them in Christ. So here in this passage, the writer wants to make something very clear about Jesus Christ and his place in our life as he continues from chapter 4. For he says here, "For every high priest taken from among men," meaning God establishes the high priest as he did in the Old Testament. These were not self-appointed. They were not elected. God ordained them according to Exodus 28 and other passages. You'll see, and the writer of Hebrews is making this clear, that these men as high priests offered both gifts and sacrifices for sin, meaning it wasn't just on the atonement or the day of atonement for sin, but also there were sacrifices of gifts as of worship and honor to the Lord. So it says here that he can have compassion, meaning the earthly priest can identify with the need that we have for forgiveness because he also goes astray. The high priest also. So God had, the regulation was that the high priest had to offer sacrifice for his own sins before he could offer sacrifice for the people's sin. So he had compassion for that. He identified with that. Also, the high priest wore on his breastplate these precious stones laid out for the 12 tribes. And so always on his heart and before the people was the intention that there would be compassion, that he's going before God on behalf of the people. And because he was going there, he was having compassion for them, and he was going to offer sacrifice first for his sins and then for the sins of the people. Now here in this passage, he's saying he did not come up with this. He did not elect himself to this, but he was called the high priest. He was taken from among the community. God did the choosing. God did the selection. Now it came from Aaron's children, and of course it came from Israel, which would be Jacob from through Abraham, but the tribe of Levi is where the priests were taken from, and they were ordained as God would set them up. Now in this process, as it came from Aaron, and the high priest was normally the eldest son, unless they transgressed or sinned and lost their place in that. But he's making a point to those Jewish background Christians, or those Christians with that Hebrew background, of how the importance of the high priest was for them under the old covenant. Now, the reason he brings this up, because he's talking about Jesus as being our high priest. None of us today should think that we can go to God ourselves. Now, it's foolish to think that we can go to God through another human being, but Jesus is our high priest. I think that's very important. Sometimes we forget that our access to the Father is through Jesus Christ, and he ever lives making intercession for us as our high priest. So the writer of Hebrews says, if that's the way it was in the old covenant, now in the new covenant, in Christ, he is our high priest. And he begins in verse 5, telling us that Jesus is qualified as this. For it says, so also Jesus did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now notice what the writer of Hebrews says. Just like the old covenant under Aaron, they were not self-appointed, but God ordained them through their heritage. Now the writer of Hebrews says, you've got to understand, Jesus is the perfect high priest. And here's why he is qualified to be so, because, and he quotes Psalm 2 again, because it was said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And he also says, quoting Psalm 110, that you are a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now over in Hebrews chapter 7, we're going to talk more about the priesthood of Melchizedek, but they would know that the priest of Melchizedek was without father and mother, without beginning or end, and he was the king of righteousness, and Jesus is of that order. Now, can you imagine how difficult that might be for Christians who were taught Judaism and came up through that as Hebrews? How can Jesus be of another means of priesthood? What about, who's this Melchizedek? Though they would have known who Melchizedek was, that was brand new for them, because their priesthood would have come through Aaron. But it says Christ did not self-appoint himself. He did not glorify himself, is the term that this new King James uses, because it was the Father who said, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Now that speaks both of the declaration, as we've said. Begotten means the preeminence, first begotten, but it also means the resurrection from the dead. He's the firstborn from among the dead. So in that sense, it's referring to he was perfected, or he went through the suffering and was raised from the dead and qualified to be our high priest, who Jesus is, in order that he might bear the sins of sinners and he would go on behalf. He's a priest forever. Now that's a new thing for the Jewish mind, because the high priest was only for his lifetime. But Jesus, since he's resurrected and eternal, and he came as the eternal one to this earth, though he died in the body physically, he was raised from the dead and ever lives to make intercession for us as the eternal high priest. Now, let's look at verse 7 and 8, because here it shows that if he's not only the eternal high priest, he's going to be there forever for us. It's not ever changing. He's also full of compassion. If you think Aaron and the priesthood carried compassion, look at Jesus, he says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, in his compassion for us, he was offering up prayers for himself there. So now he offers up prayers for us. Now, those prayers and supplications he's talking about would be obviously in the Garden of Gethsemane, but that's surely not the only place, because obedience, when you learn obedience, Jesus did not learn obedience because he was once disobedient. He learned obedience through experiencing obedience, because God, who sits in the heavens, cannot learn obedience because he is subject to no one. But when Jesus took upon the form of a servant and emptied himself out of his glory, not out of his deity, but out of his rightful place with the Father, then he was in subjection to the Father, and he experienced and learned obedience. So when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Previously to that, he said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. And it says there that his prayers were heard. Now, it's interesting. Muslims will say that Jesus never did die. And they use the scripture to say Jesus was afraid to die. He cried out, please don't let me die. And so God answered his prayer and he did not die. Well, that's not what that verse says at all. In fact, if you read the passage where Jesus prays in Gethsemane, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, that's obedience, not my will, but your will be done. And his prayer was heard. He was strengthened. Now, when it comes to this prayers and supplications, we all know what prayers are because prayers is asking and requesting and petitions. But the word supplication, the suppliant who comes and makes a supplication, the word is olive branch. That one would bring an olive branch in petition. And in the Jewish tradition, in the way that's described in the biblical dictionary, is that it was covered with wool leaflets. And I'm told that even Jewish worshipers in that day, in their prayer and supplication, would use an olive branch covered with that wool leaflets in that sense. It's saying here, Jesus came to one who could help him, one who could deliver him. And yet he said, not my will, but your will be done. So we know that Jesus learned obedience to the things which he suffered. And if suffering was good enough for the Son of God, then it's a part of the life of the believer. It's part of how we mature and grow. Suffering often is not getting our own way. And because of this verse, I have been strengthened so much in my own Christian experience because I actually see that when I am resisting temptation, there's a suffering that comes from it. I mean, Hebrews 12 says, as we've not resisted sin even unto blood. And that in that time of obedience, I don't have to experience disobedience and failure to learn obedience through suffering. Because when I, or you and I don't give in to the flesh, there's pain with that. We're not getting self-satisfaction. We're not getting self-gratification. And there's pain to that. I like the quote from Charles Spurgeon. He says, obedience is a trade to which a man must be apprenticed until he has learned it, for it is not to be known in any other way. Now, there may be people who say, well, if you really were walking in faith, you would not suffer. But that's not a biblical truth at all, because those who must enter the kingdom, Acts tells us, will suffer many tribulations, Acts 14:22. Also, Paul says in Romans 8:17 that the sufferings of this present world or present time are not to be compared to the glories that shall be revealed. We know in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, that Christians are appointed to afflictions. So that's part of our walk in Christ, is to grow in faith, because it's the trying of your faith that gives him glory, that's made pure like gold. And I believe that's what Peter was able to write about, because he himself suffered many things, and yet he knew that the sufferings for Christ and the sufferings, meaning in learning obedience. So it's not just persecution, it's that you don't get your own way, and when you don't get your own way, there is a suffering that comes with it. Now, this also tells us later in a few verses here in Hebrews that Jesus was our perfect Savior and our deliverer. Let's read verse 9, 10, 11. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Now, the writer of Hebrews is about to get into a real hard subject that he says your hearing is dull. And we're going to talk about that next time on Today in the Word, but here he says that talking about Jesus, he, having been perfected, became the author. In other words, through what he suffered, he is the author of our salvation. Now, Jonah 2 says salvation belongs to the Lord. Here, Jesus is the author of it. Sometimes people want to author their own salvation, but there's no other way except through Jesus Christ. He's called to be our high priest, and he's called according to a different order of Aaron. That is a priest who is not only eternal, but he's compassionate and he's walked in obedience, so he's able to help you. What a high priest. Thank you for joining me today in the Word.